When I was little, my Nana taught me how to people watch, and she was really good at it. In fact, we would sit in a park or a mall and watch people walk past, and then we'd make up a story about where they were headed or maybe what they were up to. Sometimes we'd even create voices for them and come up with some over-the-top adventure that would make us wish we were them. Sometimes we could tell when someone was angry or distracted or happy or entertained, but it was all in good fun. But what I really learned was to pay attention, to notice people in the moment and to see them, not just to let people pass me by, but to truly notice them. We're in a series right now called Sacred Spaces, places that can speak to us and allow us to experience God in new and unexpected ways in our city. The places that most often come to mind when we think of sacred spaces are cathedrals, the church, places of worship, or maybe even a spot in nature, perhaps a place in your home or somewhere you might go to pray. Most often, our neighborhoods and the streets we walk every day aren't thought of as sacred places. And this week, I'm taking it to the streets and into our neighborhoods to understand how beautiful interruptions along the way can be sacred in unexpected moments. The streets are busy places. People are in a rush going somewhere. And yet it is also the place where God shows up, where we have the opportunity to love others along the way. I want to share about unexpected interruptions and the sacredness of the street in our neighborhoods. When I think of some of the most unexpected shared moments I've had with people, it's been in places I never quite anticipated. Most often, it's when I'm on the way somewhere or out doing something, like being out for a walk or in a grocery store, sitting on a plane, or perhaps even working in my front yard. They are opportunities I allowed myself to be open to in the moments I found myself in. Now, as with everything, it is easy to get caught up in life, to be preoccupied, and to not pay attention to those around us. But when we live with our eyes open, with willing hearts, and our ears attuned to what's going on around us, we never know what interactions may unfold around us, what unexpected experiences we may find ourselves a part of along the way. You know, I tend to be a person who makes eye contact with people. And to be honest, I'm not always good at it. And some days, I'd rather just keep my head down and keep on going about my day. But more often than not, I choose to pay attention and notice people and things. In fact, I don't always like what I see, and sometimes I have the opportunity to step into an unexpected situation and engage with a perfect stranger in a way I never quite anticipated. You see, Jesus was really great at encountering people along the way. He walked through towns along shorelines. He noticed people. He saw them as they were, in their circumstances and in their environment. Jesus' life is full of encounters with others. But if you pay attention, you'll see his encounters weren't necessarily in the temple or the religious places and settings of the day. In fact, they were literally on the street, in the neighborhood, at the beach, places of business, at the local watering hole, or even a community party. Some of my favorite stories in the Bible are found in the New Testament, in the Gospels actually. They're stories of Jesus we're most often familiar with, but I think we often bypass the sacredness of his interactions with people and where this life-giving and transforming interactions are actually taking place. For instance, we see Jesus notices two brothers fishing. They're doing their jobs and he has a conversation with them and they end up following him as his first disciples. Another time, Jesus sees Zacchaeus, a local tax collector, sitting up in a tree. Jesus stops to talk to him and ends up at his house for a party, and it changes Zacchaeus' life. One of my favorite stories of Jesus on the road is found in John chapter 4. Jesus is traveling home with his disciples, and they end up taking a shortcut through a region called Samaria. They end up with an unexpected stop in a little town. They're tired and hungry from their walk, and the disciples leave Jesus by a well on the outskirts of town, and they head in to find food. And that's when a sacred conversation and moment unfolds. Jesus sees this woman coming to the well to get water. Now, she's come at an unusual time of the day, but she's done so to avoid seeing people and has no desire to be noticed by others. In fact, her life is clouded with shame. In verse 7, Jesus says to her, "Will you give me a drink?" The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Well, now let me pause for a moment. This makes me wonder, how many times do you and I disqualify ourselves from conversations with others because of our insecurities or feeling like we don't belong? Or how often do we distance ourselves because of our judgment of someone and inability to see another for who they really are, a person? Jesus begins to tell her about the springs of eternal life, where one will never be thirsty again. And in fact, in verse 13, he says, "Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst." Well, the Samaritan woman is so excited, and she says, "I want that water so I never have to come here again." And it's in that moment Jesus gives her an invitation and speaks directly to the shame she's been carrying for years. She's lived a messy life with five husbands and shame surrounding her situation. And yet Jesus extends an invitation for her and her family to come and experience a new way of life and living. You see, it is in this sacred moment of truth that this woman is suddenly set free. This unexpected encounter at the well carries with it a ripple effect. This woman is so excited, she runs back to town to tell everyone what has happened. A woman who wanted to hide, who lived in shame, who went out of her way to avoid others, is now telling everyone to come and see this person who has told her all about her life. You see, an unexpected encounter with Jesus in a town he wasn't supposed to be in, with a woman culturally he wasn't even supposed to be talking to, has now resulted in Jesus staying 2 days in this community, a place he hadn't planned on being in, and seeing many people come to faith because of this woman's testimony. You and I can never underestimate the ripple effect of our interactions with others. Now, we may never fully know the scope of those unexpected moments along the way, but what God desires to do with our obedience is up to Him and those whose lives we interact with. Several years ago, my husband Anthony and I were taking our kids to Seattle. We wanted to make a special stop to surprise them. So we arrived in Everett at the headquarters for Funko Pop. They create iconic figurines of pop culture. It was so fun to surprise them. But before we went inside, we took time to enjoy the outside of the building because there was so much to see. Now, just before heading into the store, I noticed this young woman walking down the sidewalk. I saw that she was crying and you could sense the heaviness of her pain. I recall smiling at her, but to be honest, I don't know that she actually noticed. I was about to turn around and walk into the store with her family when I felt this little nudge inside. I turned to Anth and the kids and I said, "Can you actually just give me a minute?" Now, it's not normally in my nature to walk up to strangers, but I knew this nudge. It was the Holy Spirit. And by now, she was standing on the corner waiting to cross the street. And as I approached, I reached out and I said, "Hey," I said, "my name's Michelle. I just want to see if there's anything I can do to help." Well, she thanked me and said, "No, it was all right." And then I said something even more odd and out of place for myself. I said, "So I know you don't know me, but would it be okay if I gave you a hug?" Well, she declined, and as I started to walk away, I thought, "Oh, wow, did I ever get that so wrong?" And then I heard this, "No, wait." As I turned around, she introduced herself and said she'd take that hug, but first she began to share with me a part of her journey. She was just getting off work and was on her way home to bury her pain in alcohol and get drunk in the middle of the day. She was in her mid-20s, and recently her mom had gotten sick. At first, it didn't seem like much, but then her mom ended up in hospital and very unexpectedly died. She wasn't prepared for her mom to go. In fact, her mom was her world. She didn't have any other significant family relationships, and now she suddenly found herself so alone. She was grieving her mom, her future. She wanted her mom there when she got married and had kids. I remember her telling me with a big smile on her face how she knew her mom would have been the best grandma ever. You see, in these few short moments, she shared with me how the only way she knew how to cope was to drink. She had never had a drinking problem before, but now it was simply all too much. As we continued to talk, I felt led to ask her something. I said, "What would your mom say to you right now? What words of advice would she give to you?" She paused, chuckled, and with some colorful language said, "She'd tell me to stop being such an idiot." And she went on to share some more thoughts. With that, I said, "You know, next time you go to pick up that bottle, I want you to hear your mom talking to you, encouraging you to find another way through the pain." So I gave her a big, huge hug, and I told her, for what it's worth, never forget that there's this crazy girl out there named Michelle who's going to remember to pray for you. And then we went our separate ways. You see, that moment was a sacred moment, right there on the street, an unexpected encounter in a city not my own with a complete stranger. It was a shared moment of vulnerability, of humanity in its rawest form. And can I tell you, God was in it. His Spirit opened the door. Now, it would have been so easy for me to have just stayed in that moment and walked into that store with my family. But I felt that little nudge that prompted me to step out of my comfort zone and engage a perfect stranger. You see, when we engage with someone walking by and we say hello, we're actually telling them that they're seen. Interacting with people in our neighborhood allows us the ability to listen to their stories, to hear their stories, to learn about them. We can ask a simple question beyond, "How are you?" and actually discover the journey of another person. Your interactions with another person allows them to know they're noticed, that their existence actually matters. Now, it can seem a bit harder these days, especially with the pandemic. It's caused us to cover up and be less inclined to interact with others. But even so, there is always a way to let those around us know that they're actually seen. Kyo Stark is an author and public speaker, and she wrote a book called When Strangers Meet. She speaks about our interactions with strangers as fleeting intimacy. Now, I know it may sound odd, but sociologists go on to describe this as brief interactions that have emotional resonance and meaning. See, she believes that these fleeting moments give us new ways to fall in love with the world. And I love that imagery, that unexpected invitation. She goes on to share that when we talk with strangers, we're making beautiful interruptions into the expected narrative of our daily lives. She encourages people to push past our default and discomfort when it comes to strangers and actually embrace those fleeting but profoundly beautiful moments of genuine connection with others. It is these beautiful and unexpected connections to others that allow you and I to discover a person, a story, a journey, all on the other side of that interruption. You know, Jesus did exactly the same thing. He frequently created beautiful interruptions into the lives of strangers, those he met along the way. Jesus calls you and I to take that same initiative in connecting with others. Now, I realize that for some of us, stepping out to interact with a stranger is so far out of our comfort zone and most likely not something we're inclined to do. However, I do believe there's a ways that we can go about our day that allow us to take the time to truly notice people we walk past, to see them, and to actually interact with them, to make a difference, even during a time like COVID, where half of our face is covered with a mask. You see, we need to learn to listen to that little nudge in our everyday moments, to see the opportunities we have around us along the way. Those sacred moments are often far more simple than we think. It's about our everyday moments and interactions with others, about how we leave a mark on those around us, knowingly or not. I love how 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up." You know, a friend of mine is a pastor in downtown Montreal, and she recently shared this story, and I asked her if I could share it with you today. It really is the simple things in life that make a difference. So Patty was having a busy day and she had to make a quick run into the grocery store to get bread and cereal as she was in between meetings and running around. As she walked in, she muttered a quick thanks to the young lady who sprayed her hands with hand sanitizer. And she says, "I didn't even make eye contact with her. I just grabbed the cart and I kept going." Well, she goes on to say, "Then a moment later, I heard this little voice inside that often seems to be God whispering, 'Seriously?' She goes, I slowed. I knew that quiet little voice inside, 'Hello.' I stopped." She said, "I turned around and went back to that young lady with the spray bottle. 'I'm so sorry,' I said. 'I didn't even make eye contact with you when I came in, and I treated you like you were hardly even there. And I just want to say I'm really sorry about that. I hope you're really having a great day, a wonderful day, in fact, and I just want to say thanks for what you're doing here.' Well, the woman beamed back, smiling, and was so surprised. She said, 'Oh, no problem, and you're welcome, and thank you.' Well, Patty said that little quiet voice inside of her kind of gave her that thumbs up. She said she went back to her shopping cart and getting the things that she needed. She said, hopefully, a little more humble and a little kinder. You see, I think this is a perfect example of listening to His Spirit and noticing the ability to engage in sacred moments along the way in our everyday life. Now, the street is a metaphor for places we connect with others. The streets take us everywhere we're going. Jane Jacobs was an activist who advocated for a community approach to urban settings. In fact, she wrote a book years ago called The Death and Life of Great American Cities. She talks a lot about the power of community and the life of the street. She says the ballet of the city sidewalk never repeats itself from place to place. In any one place, it is always filled with new improvisations. The trust of a city street is formed over time from many, many little public sidewalk contacts. You see, it grows out of people stopping to ask for help, to chat with the store clerk, to talk with someone in the park or along the way, or it comes from going back to the same coffee shop time and time and time again. Well, a street can look so ordinary, but the truth is, it is always changing. It is always moving and in motion. Your neighborhood is always changing and always evolving. Jesus calls us to look at the unexpected places, the words, the connections, the moments we find ourselves in as we go about our day and find Him in it. Whether that's walking the kids to school or running to the grocery store, sitting in a coffee shop or waiting for the bus, maybe it's while we're sitting in a doctor's appointment. Each of these are opportunities for us to experience God along the way, to pray for people as we go, as we walk past them and as we notice them, to be present in the loneliness we might see in someone passing by. You know, in a previous church Anthony and I pastored, we started something called #YouAreChalked back in 2012. We started writing chalk messages on the sidewalks of our neighborhoods. Kind of think of it as an eco-friendly way to graffiti the streets. Well, we wrote encouraging and unexpected messages, bringing uplifting and hope-filled messages to the sidewalks of our neighborhoods. Things like, your life is someone's reason to smile, or dream big and then go do it, or this world needs you. You know, something happens when you get down on the sidewalk in your neighborhood and begin to write affirmative, positive, and inspiring messages. It actually begins to change your perspective and alter the way you see your neighborhood and your neighbors. Psychologists tell us that for every negative comment we receive in our lives, it takes 5 positive affirmations to negate that one statement. You know, you and I are often unaware what others are walking through. And if there's a way that we can help and to bring a smile to another person's face or brighten their day in some way and be part of the solution, well, I think Jesus would be all over this. Now, it's not much different than his own example, to be honest. He showed up in random places. People encountered him and, well, they were changed. Now, chalk may not change a person, but words can impact a life. You know, we began blitzing different neighborhoods, skate parks, chalking the block, and before we knew it, we had people asking when this was coming to their neighborhood. People would find these messages on their walks, take pictures, and post them to Instagram and Facebook, and some would share their stories. In fact, we had one woman tell us she had been struggling and had been in a really dark place. That morning, she was struggling even to get out the door for work and she was late. And as she walked out the front door, she opened the door and there on the sidewalk in front of her was a message. And it read, "Your life matters. This world needs you." You know, she said it turned her whole day around, this message on her sidewalk in front of her house. You know, we heard from another man who was out for a run in the park and he was so discouraged with how he was doing. He was just about to quit when he came around the corner and he saw this big sign on the pathway that said, "Don't stop now, keep going." Well, he said he laughed so hard, he took a picture and then he kept going. It's awesome. You see, sacred spaces isn't just about the big things. It's about the little things too. The unexpected ability to make an impact or an impression on another. Feeling a connection is a core human need. And you and I have the opportunity to be one of the 5 points of positive contact in another's life in any given day. We have multiple opportunities surrounding us to actually be part of the solution, not just in the lives of those we know, but actually in the life of a perfect stranger. Sometimes it comes by way of a simple thank you or a smile as we pass someone. It may even be telling them that, "Hey, I love your outfit," or telling them that they look really great today or their hair is awesome. Whatever that is, we need to show gratitude for people, even for their services. But what it requires of us is to be present, to be attentive, and to actually be in the moment and be willing to engage people along the way, in our everyday life moments, to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and to learn from the life of Jesus himself. You see, Jesus noticed people. He shared in unexpected conversations, showed up in unexpected places, shared in unexpected meals. He walked the streets of towns and neighborhoods with his eyes wide open and his heart willing, and engaged with everyday people, strangers whose lives were impacted because he simply took the time to stop, to be present, and to be in the moment and to engage. You know, how do people watch? While I've entertained myself lots over the years by the stories I've made up about people as they hurry past, I've also learned to step out and engage in unexpected conversations and interactions with others because she taught me how to notice people, to allow myself to be found in the sacred moments of the street and the neighborhood. You know, I've learned from the real life stories I've encountered along the way, and let me tell you, they always far outweigh any imaginative story I've created in my mind. But I've learned the value of sacred places on the street, in the neighborhood, the impact of a smile or an offer of help. I've learned to see Jesus in others, and I've learned many of my sacred spaces and moments are the interruptions of my day as I walk the places I find myself in. So I leave us with this challenge this week. Who needs to hear from you today? Who in your circle of influence needs to know that they're loved? What stranger needs to know that they're noticed? Who can you share a meal with? Or perhaps what single mom or dad needs to hear today that he or she is doing a great job? Perhaps you have an ailing friend who could actually just use a good day of laughing. Or what friend may have just had the carpet ripped out from under their feet and their world turned upside down? Perhaps someone in your neighborhood might need help with groceries, or what family might need help to pay for counseling in order to help find a way forward? You see, someone needs to hear from you today that they're not alone. In fact, you are not alone. You are surrounded with sacred moments along the way of your everyday life. You have the opportunity to love others, to appreciate the stranger walking past, and to be that source of life to those you pass by. The sacredness of the street is literally yours to experience. Each of us can make a mark on our world today. In fact, you never know what your one simple act of reaching out can do to turn someone's day, situation, or even life around. So be gracious, stop judging, love those around you. Beautiful interruptions are awaiting you. What unexpected journey might you be invited to this week?